Morning Air continues now on Relevant Radio as we take a look at Sunday's Gospel reading with Bishop Daniel Muggenberg from the Archdiocese of Seattle. Bishop Muggenberg, great to have you along as we look at one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture.
Glenn, in fact, it probably is the most famous verse in all of Scripture. Certainly, any time that we go to a football game, usually we'll see this passage of Scripture at least referenced in the end zone someplace. John 3:16 is the famous statement of Jesus that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. Now, the reason that passage is so important is not just because it's so quoted, but also because that passage is so meaningful when we understand it in the context of John's gospel. And that's where putting this passage in its context doesn't diminish its power or meaning, but actually gives it its power and meaning. And that's what I'd like to do as we look at today's gospel reading from John's gospel, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. The first thing we need to do is remember that Jesus gives us this great statement in the context of his conversation with Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus is coming to Jesus at nighttime. He's someone who's curious about Jesus, but he's still a little bit afraid, you know, but he wants to explore what exactly the gift of faith is about. And so he's talking with Jesus, trying to understand Jesus' mission. And in the context of that, Jesus has an interesting statement to Nicodemus. He says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Now that is an important statement because that is giving us the particular context in which we receive the gift of eternal life through the act of believing. So the context that Jesus is speaking about is the Son of Man being lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. In John's gospel, the Son of Man being lifted up is always a reference to the crucifixion on Calvary. So Jesus is telling us that there's a particular faith that we have when we see the Son of Man lifted up and we believe that he is revealing to us the very love of God, the very presence of God through the cross of Calvary. Now that faith is important because up until this moment in John's gospel, we've seen Jesus do other things that have led people to believe in him. For instance, in chapter 2, he changed the water into wine at Cana. And we were told people began to believe in him because they saw that miracle. We were also told last week that people began to believe in Jesus because they saw the signs he was doing in Jerusalem, the cleansing of the temple and things like that. Now in this gospel, Jesus is telling us that we have eternal life, not because we believe in his miracles or because we believe in his dramatic teachings like in the temple, but we have eternal life because we believe in him lifted up on Calvary as the revelation of God's presence and love for us, and that our act of believing actually draws us into that experience. So that act of believing is more than just an intellectual assent. It really refers to a participation of our life where we say yes to God's action of revealing his love and his presence, and we say yes in such a way that God now reveals his love and presence to the world through us. That believing is an active participation in God's revelation, and not just a passive observation or a passive reception of God's revelation. Now, that's a powerful statement because that's what it means to believe in John's gospel. You know, interestingly enough, in John's gospel, the word faith is never used as a noun, or belief is never used as a noun. It's always a verb. John wants us to know that believing is an active and dynamic experience in our lives, something that is being received and being given as an instrument of God's presence in the world. Each one of us becomes that instrument of God's presence when we believe in Jesus as the one whom the Father sent and who reveals the Father to us on the cross of Calvary. It's a powerful statement.
And it keeps us from maybe looking at it just too simply. Like you said, believing isn't a matter of just intellectual assent, but actually taking it to heart. And, you know, the fruits of our life kind of show to the degree we've taken it to heart.
Well, and that's what we see then in the succeeding verses. So when we get to that famous passage of John 16, where we're told God so loved the world that he gave his only son, we need to ask ourselves the question, how did God give his son to the world? You know, God gave his son not just in the incarnation, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but God also continued to give his son on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus continues to give himself to us in the Eucharist. And when we receive this great cascade of God's love manifested in God's self-giving, we are then challenged to become an instrument of God's self-giving to the world through us, so that the cascade of God's giving love continues in the world, and the world may believe, as Jesus says in the Last Supper, through us as his disciples. So we become now the ones who witness God's self-giving love to the world. And we're not only told that God loved the world in his action of giving, but then we move to the next verse, in which we're told that God loved the world through his action of sending. Now, that again also begs the question, how did God send his son into the world? Well, he sent Jesus, yes, with the incarnation. He also sent Jesus to accomplish the work of leading the world to believe in him as the one sent by the Father. But Jesus also sent his disciples in John chapter 20 when he said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Now that's powerful because God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, and neither does God send us into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through that gift of believing. And that's a powerful responsibility. You know, Jesus was sent with the mission to reveal God to the world. And to do that, Jesus died on Calvary so that we could know love. And in exactly that same way, we are being sent with that same mission. And then, as you said, you know, our act of believing is something that has consequences in how we're living. And as we move to the end of this beautiful passage from chapter 3 in John's Gospel, we see that a person's actions are now connected to their act of believing. When we're told specifically, the light came into the world, but people who preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that their works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. That's connecting our lived works in our lives with our act of believing, or in some cases, for those whose works are deeds of darkness, for their act of not believing. And that's an important correlation between the act of believing and indeed how we're living that out in the works of our lives.
Meaty stuff for this week, worth looking ahead. Sunday's Gospel from John 3, verses 14 through 21. Bishop Muggenberg, always appreciate your insight. If you'd be so kind as to wrap us up today with your blessing.
The Lord be with you. And may the blessing of Almighty God, who calls us to be his own through our own act of faith and to live out that faith in everything that we say and do, bless us to be his faithful disciples now and always. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.